the people of God today and to study His Word. And those that are visiting, we're thankful for your presence as well. And I hope that you have a Bible to follow along the things that we're going to discuss this morning, that they would be profitable to you. And if you have any questions, please let us know. This is our fifth lesson in this series on authority. We've studied so far why we need God's authority, what happens if we ignore God's authority, how to establish God's authority, and then the church's focus being spiritual service. And as we go further into the topic of authority, we naturally have to come to this study here, understanding expedience. Because sometimes people will ask sincerely, though I've found most of the times it's argumentatively, they say, well, if we need God's permission for everything that we do, where do you find permission for pews and songbooks and those kinds of things? Where's that in the Bible, they might say. Most are just trying to justify their instrument of music or fellowship hall or church-sponsored benevolent society, something that is completely without God's authority. And in their minds, they're trying to say, look, there's no specific permission from God for those things like these things. And so they try to parallel it that way. First, we need to tell them if they are equal and without authority, then they all need to stop. We don't justify ourselves before God by pointing at what others are doing that are without authority. That's like a criminal pointing to another criminal saying, well, look at what you do. Right? They're both wrong if they're breaking the law. And both churches are in the wrong if they're breaking God's law. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So here's a number of individuals that are doing things without law, supposedly for the name of Christ and in the name of Christ. But they were not doing it by His authority. And He says that they shall be lost on that day, departing from the Son of God. See, one doesn't get the pass if the other person's doing the wrong as well. And that's why I say it's usually a person trying to argue as opposed to understand the issue. Because they themselves know that two wrongs don't make a right. So why would you point to this, the songbooks and the pews if you've got these other things that you know you have no authority for? The truth is, we have to be able to justify the songbooks and the pews, and they have to be able to justify a building built for food and fun, or an instrument of music. What we're going to see is that once again, this really comes down to understanding communication, as we've been saying throughout this series. That when someone has granted permission for a thing, that there can be expedience or aids to carry out that thing for which permission was first given. And those aids are authorized, generically speaking. But the key is that permission is given. Given by God for the practice in the first place. Now I want to quickly review so that we have all the pieces out and can put this puzzle together nicely. So permit me a little time to quickly review. Remember our definition for authority by W. Vines. Authority is the power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. And when we speak about having God's authority, we're talking about we have God's permission to then act. Now, recall that we use the New Testament today to to find out what activities indeed please God. In John chapter 4, Jesus spoke of the days in which we live in. He spoke of them before they took place, and he spoke of them before a woman at a well, as they were discussing, in essence, worship under the old covenant. And Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 21, he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." That hour was coming when it wouldn't be about the location. Now, he couldn't have said that under the old covenant because it was very much important then, right? "The hour is coming," he said, verse 23. "And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And so that worship must be done according to truth and according to the right heart. And he said that hour is coming when it will be governed, in essence, by the truth of the new covenant. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth." He could say that then because he had nailed to the cross the old covenant. Then he could declare all authority now was his. And so, as Paul says in Colossians 3:17, whatever it is that we do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So as a congregation, as a church, whatever it is we do has to be done by God's permission. Now, recall how we receive God's permission. It's the same way we receive anyone else's permission, because it comes down to how we communicate, in essence. There are three ways in which we communicate our permission to someone else. We might tell them what it is we want them to do, right? This is often referred to as a direct command or statement from God. Why is that authoritative? Because Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's why. So why do we sing? Ephesians 5:19 says that we're speaking to one another. He tells us to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why we do it. It's obeying that command. Why do we baptize individuals for the forgiveness of sins? Because Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." So he's communicating his will to us by telling us what he desires. He also can communicate his will to us, permission, by showing us things, by approved example. In Philippians chapter 3, there you even see Paul say that this is one way in which God communicates what it is that he wants us to do. Philippians 3:17, Paul says, "Brethren, join in what? Following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." And then in chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, "The thing which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." And so we might say, by direct command or statement, we have then permission to follow their examples. One also expresses their permission by what they imply, what we must necessarily infer from things that they had done or said. Like in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, right? Where we see the example of Paul and the brethren coming together on the first day of the week to break bread, to take of the Lord's Supper. Paul said, "Follow my example. Note those who walk as you have us for a pattern." So we see that pattern and therefore we do that pattern. Right? It's implied that we ought to do the same on what day? The first day of the week. How many first days of the week? Every first day of the week, because every week has a first day. So it's by implication we're able to come to these understandings. In Hebrews 10:25, it tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So that implies that there must be an agreed upon location by which we're to be at, that we could forsake potentially. You see, by that necessary implication of Hebrews 10:25. We use necessary implication to understand the Bible speaking to you and I in general, right? Because my name is never mentioned in the text, and your name is never mentioned in the text, but we imply that God is actually speaking to us from the text, even though our names are not specifically mentioned. So these are three ways in which we receive God's permission for what it is that we do. Well, what about silence, though? Well, silence, remember we studied, is no knowledge at all. It can never commend one in what they're actually doing. And any action taken is purely presumptuous. It's presumptuous to say, well, then God must be pleased with this. If God never said, I'm pleased with this, right? Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong to God, but that which is revealed belongs to us. So He's told us what He wants us to do, not everything He doesn't want us to do. And in what He has given us permission for, we need to stay within that realm. Otherwise, Proverbs 30, verse 6, it tells us that if we take away or add to God's word, He rebukes us and we become a liar. Why are we a liar? Because we're saying God's okay with this when God never said, I'm okay with this. That's putting words in His mouth. In John chapter 2, just to illustrate this, John chapter 2, John the second chapter, there in verse 13. Remember the time when Jesus cleansed the temple? They had, in essence, perverted its work and its use. In John 2:13, he says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. What happened when he saw that? That was an authorized use of the temple. Well, verse 15, he made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. They were selling these things there, these animals that they would use in those sacrifices. But he said, take them away. That's not what this temple was to be used for, a place of merchandise. No. Now, someone there might have said, well, Jesus, show us in the Old Testament what's wrong to sell items here. You show us. You give us one verse where it says it's wrong for us to sell things here. God never said not to sell items there. He never said that. But you see, God's silence meant no business to be done at the temple. And too many change the nature and function of the church all the same, from a house of prayer in essence, right? Spiritual service, to that of the carnal and social service. And then they say, why, where did God say use songbooks and pews? Was He silent about that? Was He? Was He silent about that in the same exact way in which He was about changing the nature of the church? Remember, last week we ended by saying there's a difference between silence and unspecified. And that leads into our topic this morning. See, expedients are used to carry out what God was not silent about, but unspecific. So let's talk about understanding expedients this morning. What is an expedient? Well, when you look up the word expedient and look at some of the synonyms for expedient, you'll find words like convenient or advantageous, practical or useful. These are good synonyms for that word. You'll notice it's not a new command or new activity altogether. That's an addition. But these are aids to carry out what was already revealed. See, not that God was silent on it, but to carry out what God has already revealed in the easiest way possible, to expedite it. You ever had those options when you're ordering something on Amazon or online, right? You can choose regular shipping or expedited shipping. Now, the same action's being done, shipping. But one gets it to you faster than the other. This is what we're talking about. The same commands of God are being followed, but we're at liberty to expedite that command or to aid that command if God was unspecific about that, right? If God said, you must sing while standing, and He specified standing, well, then we could not sit while singing. You see that? But if God said sing and was unspecific, then we could do either one, right? Stand or sit. So expedite doesn't usually mean faster like in shipping, but works best for a given group's situation. It might be good to stand sometimes to shake out our legs and to circulate the blood, right? But then we also know we need to be sitting sometimes because there are elderly folks that need to be down more than up. But in order to have an expedient, you must first have God's permission for the activity itself. In other words, God could not have been silent on the activity that we're trying to aid, right? That's like you receiving some package from Amazon, maybe expedited shipping, that you never ordered, right? You're like, all right, well, it was expedited, but I never ordered it. For example, let's talk about singing songbooks for a second again. It'd be wrong and without authority for us to have songbooks if there was no command to sing. You would be trying to expedite something that God was silent about. So for a thing to be expedient, it must first be lawful. Once there is that command, we can look then for the most practical, useful way to do that. To sing those songs, for example. To expedite fulfilling God's command. Now, I'm going to have to camp there. More on that in a minute. We're going to come back to that. But I want to step back for a second. You see, this deals with things unspecified by God's word, but yet still authorized. This goes back to that original question, songs and songbooks and pews versus like fellowship halls and instruments, right? You say, oh, where's your authority for those songbooks? Must everything be spelled out in order for it to be authorized? Well, no. For example, turn to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we'll use Noah to illustrate this point. In Genesis 6, there in verse 14, God told Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you should make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it from a cubit from above, and set a door on the ark in its side, and you shall make with it lower, second, and third decks. So there's a lot of specifics God gives in terms of making this ark. One of those being the type of wood that Noah would use. Gopher wood. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. So he wouldn't be at liberty then to choose cedar or pine. Right? We get that. God had specified the wood. That would disobey God's commandment. But when he said, make yourself, well, there all of a sudden is some things that he was unspecific about. Well, like what? Well, for example, tools. He didn't say what tools had to be used, right? He was unspecific about that. He was unspecific as regards to what other labor force might aid this, right? The use of animals to carry lumber or even hiring employees. None of that is specified, yet they're authorized because it helps carry out the command to make yourself an ark. And after all is said and done, All it did was make that ark. But what about having a three-ring circus along the way? Right? Now that doesn't make any sense. See, that doesn't help carry out the command. That's something in addition to the command. But you can see how we use common sense and communication to understand, okay, what's expediting the command and what's not. So again, we go back to communication. We let people know our will by what we tell, show, and imply. And virtually all of that implies other factors maybe not specified. To illustrate again, if I told my son to mow the yard without any further statements, I am implying that he can choose how to do that, right? Though I didn't specify every action, get on your shoes, open the door, go outside, get the mower out, put gas in the mower, pull the starter, mow in a diagonal pattern, and do that while walking very slowly, right? That's what mom would like. Now, I didn't say all that. I implied that as long as he does what I asked, which is mow the yard, that he has some freedom in choosing the most expedient way to do that. I don't have to specify every single action in order to make my will known to my son. Which door he goes out, which hand he uses to start the mower, how fast or slow he wants to take. All of those are choices he has freedom to make along the way. All of these combinations of choices are available by the simple command, mow the yard. See, we understand naturally how expedience work till we often get to Scripture. Again, I tell my wife, go and buy me a cake. She may, quote, go in a number of ways, right? She may walk, ride a bike, or drive a car. She might buy that cake with cash, credit, or check. She might buy me a chocolate cake or a white cake or an ice cream cake. She has freedom of choice. Unless context helps my wife understand what kind of cake I meant, right? She knows chocolate might be my favorite cake, and so she has additional information. But I didn't specify the brand of chocolate cake, right? And then she has freedom to choose. See, context determines these things. Most of these things are subconsciously we accept, though we don't typically spell it out, right? Turn to Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus here says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So here's a scriptural illustration. Go into all the world, right? One may walk, ride a bike, fly, or drive, right? In order to go. He was general in terms of the nature in which one goes. So there's a variety of options one can choose as to what might be expedient. Go into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every who? Creature. What does that mean? Did God want us to go to an anthill and to preach to the ants? Or to go to the Amazon and preach to the toucans and the gorillas over there in the jungles? Is that what he meant by creature? No. We know he means humans, right? See, the context helps us understand what creatures God is actually talking about. When God tells the church to sing hymns and spiritual songs, look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 16. It's interesting and ironic to me that right before the Lord says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, that right before he says that, he said what he says in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's as if he's saying, like, look, I know what could be coming down the pike, in essence. Some are going to try and take liberties in regards to how or what kind of music they offer. Now, I'm telling you, whatever you do, make sure it's done by the name of the Lord. And this is the kind of singing that I'm asking for. Spiritual songs. That means that we can't sing secular songs, right? As a congregation, not as a church. We can't sing a national anthem or any other kind of songs. Why? Because he specified what kind of songs to do. But he was unspecific regarding to how many, right? We have freedom of choice there. Having songbooks, even though those were unspecified, they're authorized, right? Because they aid us in singing. Another place might say, well, we're going to expedite our singing by projecting the songs on the screen, right? Having a song leader helps us all start at the same time. These are all generally authorized in the same way that my son would mow diagonally or my wife would use a credit card to buy the cake. They're not spelled out, but they are understood in helping to fulfill the command in the most practical and advantageous way possible. And here's the key. When it's all said and done, whether my wife used the credit card, whether my son mowed diagonally, or whether we used songbooks, all that anyone did was keep the command, nothing more, nothing less. My wife's to buy the cake, my son's to mow the lawn, and for us to sing spiritual songs. See, that way an expedient does not equate to just whatever it is that we want. I might be general in asking my daughter to buy some type of bread, but she still has to buy bread, not a rock. That's a different category altogether. Even if it was a different type of food, right? Chicken is not bread. You see, in this way, God is still in charge. He is still giving the permission to do a certain thing. We haven't stepped into what He has been silent about. We're rather carrying out His will in the end, right? We do so without changing the category of the command or the nature of the command. So God said, sing. Well, we change the category if we start to play, right? Singing and playing are two different actions. That's two different kinds of music, vocal and instrumental. That's kind of like chicken and bread are two different types of food. But when God became specific, sing, that cut out every other category of music, humming, drumming, or strumming. Play is a different action than sing. And it is a different kind of music. Now, often our liberal friends or institutional brethren, they get it when it comes to instrumental music. By and large, some are starting to let that slip now. But what about when it comes to a different kind of way in which we use the word play? Recreational play. Well, if we first have the permission to recreationally play as a congregation, then we can expedite that in a number of ways, couldn't we? Right? We could have the basketball hoop, the playground, the fellowship hall, the church camp. We could have all these things. But what do we need first? We first need the command to play in a recreational sense. Just like our denominational friends first need the command to play in the instrumental sense for music. Now, what do we have? What has God shown, tell, and applied? We have worship as a congregation. We have preaching being supported by the Lord's treasury, edification of the brethren, benevolence for needy saints, because the service of the church was spiritual, right? It's like Jesus said of the temple in the Old Testament. This was a house of prayer. It was a place of spiritual work being done. Same with the temple of Christ in the New Testament. And we can use generic authority to carry out these kinds of things. But to have a separate building or playground to play in is switching categories. See, after using an expedient, all we did was fulfill the command. Right? Again, songbooks to singing. Right? No one says, Boy, I sure enjoyed singing and songbooking today. We enjoyed singing, right? It was singing. That's all we did with this. This microphone that I'm wearing, the projector that I'm using right here, this pulpit, all in the end is fulfill the command to preach. No one ever pats me on the back and say, way to preach and microphone and projector and pulpit today. No one does that. Because those were just simply aids to fulfill the command to preach. So what command, example, or necessary inference is the playground or cafeteria aiding? None. Because like we explained last week, that's not the work of the church, but rather that of an individual. One cannot say after they ate, right, in the fellowship hall, boy, look at us, we fulfilled the command to preach today. No. Totally different action, right? One cannot say after they played basketball in the church hoop in the parking lot, they can't say, all we did is fulfill the command to evangelize, right? Now, you might have evangelized with a friend while playing basketball, but you see, that's something in addition to evangelism. That wasn't aiding the evangelism. That was an addition to it. Just like our denominational friend would say, well, that instrument sure helped us sing. No, it was an addition to your singing. It was a different action altogether. These are entirely different actions. You see, that's switching categories. That's like sending my daughter to buy bread and she comes back with something totally different. She could not bring that home and say, Dad, all I did was fulfill the command to buy bread. No, no. So expedience don't mean we can just do whatever it is that we want. Expedience must also not master us and make us feel that there is no other way. Now listen, we need to listen carefully. This is when danger can enter and churches can turn their traditions into law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says this over here, 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. That's the word we use for expedient. You might even see a marginal note saying profitable, right? That's what we're talking about, convenient. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. So within the realm of what is lawful, right? What God has authorized. That's what Paul's talking about. We have options, as we've said, to help carry out those commands. So within this realm of what's lawful, he says, not everything's expedient. And he goes on to say, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So he's talking about in terms of any expedient. I'm not going to be ruled by any aid or expedient. I'm not going to be mastered or bound to that expedient. In essence, he's saying he could give it up if it meant to edify and promote peace and harmony in a group. Notice again, he says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23. Here he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. The same phrase again. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. That is to build up in that spiritual nature. So since it is unspecified, that means it falls into the realm of human judgment. And we must try to work together on judgment because it is non-essential. See that? That's what we're talking about when we talk about these expedients. These are aids. It's not the very command itself. Just aids to carry out that command. Now, do we get this point? Do we understand this? That Paul says he was not going to let that aid become bound to that aid. He's not going to be mastered by it. Because there's other extenuating circumstances he needs to consider as well. Do we get that? I'll be honest. You know, COVID time really focused us on what is essential and what is not. It exposed us. We had come to rely on certain expedients maybe namely our building. And in some ways, these expedients mastered us. So when it came to adapt, it was a hard thing to do. But we did it. And we survived. No one got killed. Some got angry. Some made for peace. And no one got their way. But in the end, what did we do when we were outside under a tree in our lawn chairs? The exact same things we did before. With the exact same gospel, just with different expedience. All that would help us still fulfill the commands. We did. And it tested. Were we mastered by those expedients of the past? Did we try to make those laws, in essence, those traditions? We had to break free of that. Remember the different start times we had? Adjusting those start times based on weather? Remember the mic outside that no one seemed to quite know how to talk into very well? Remember the FN stations that we had to turn our radios to when we had to be in the car? Remember the propane heater that TJ got me so that I could be warm outside while y'all were in your cars and I was preaching? Remember that? Remember those little individual Lord's Supper cups with the bread on top? Remember the shorter services? Remember the combined class? But listen, after all was said and done, all we did was the exact same things. We didn't go beyond and add an instrument. No authority. We didn't go beyond and make an outdoor playground for the kids to play in. No authority for that. We didn't go beyond and use the grounds purchased by the Lord's treasury to house potluck outdoors. No authority. We just did what we normally do in here, out there, just with different expedients. And we had to learn what Paul meant to not be mastered by our expedient. For some, that was almost a hill too hard to climb. So you see, when all is said and done, expedients don't change the nature of the commands or the categories that God gave. And that is the way he should have it. The next time someone doubts God and his ways, that he is a God of patterns, ask him, listen, is God a God of randomness or patterns? You see, the way he gave his commands was such a beautiful, masterful way that they could be fulfilled anywhere and everywhere through whatever century, and they can be fulfilled maybe in different manners or expedients, but they're still being done. The pattern's still being upheld. None of that changes. Just like the pattern for the Old Testament temple. See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. In the New Testament, he said, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you've heard from me. And because of God's authority, we're able to do that very thing. I pray this helps you better understand expedience. While we have pews to help aid us in our assembling, or songbooks to aid us in our singing, church buildings to help expedite God's permitted activities as his congregation, as his church, and why it is that we don't have other things, because those are additions. He is silent about these other things, such as fellowship halls or instrumental music. You've been a good listener, and I pray that it's been profitable for you and maybe helped you think through some of these things that maybe you haven't thought through as deeply before, or maybe it just serves as a good reminder. I know for our young people, for many of them, it's maybe the first time hearing these things. We need to make sure that we are training and helping these young individuals to understand this. These are the ways in which they will explain the difference between the Lord's church and the churches of men that operate outside the authority of Christ and God. May God bless us in doing so. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, will you repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins? We ask you to do those things because God has permitted us to do so. You can read that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, where God desires you to confess faith, repent of sins, and be baptized. If as God's child you've fallen away, this is also time for you to come back, to be restored. Again, by God's authority, He says to pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your trespasses one to another. And so that's why we give this opportunity to do that this very hour. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing? Will you come with your poor broken heart, burden and sin oppressed? Lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.